This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
I'm Ted Siemens. While our goal, our tasks, and our Lord serve to unite us, there is an area where our team hasn't exactly come together. Audio editing software. When it comes to that, we're as diverse as our time zones. Take Scott Hollinger, for example. He uses Adobe Audition. He's particular about the version, too. Al Stewart automated the process with WaveStation, later upgrading to Simeon. And since I work for TWR Europe, officially I endorse WaveLab, though someone has pointed out to me that it fades music linearly, not algorithmically, which is the way a person's ear actually hears. And then there's Denny Milgate. Like Scott, he works with Adobe Audition and Audacity, which is free, and fades out music algorithmically. Both Denny Milgate and Brent Lindquist are Mac users. So one day, Brent asks how he can use GarageBand to record his segments of our program. I replied, GarageBand is great for making music. And then I said, for recording your part of MemCare by radio, why don't you download the Audacity version that matches your Mac system? After all, it fades algorithmically. I'm sure you understand. As an expat Christian worker who has had to make the best of being productive in a culture not your own, I'm sure you'll understand how Brent answered me with a level of persistence and tenacity. He said, "No, I'm not going to use Audacity. GarageBand came with my computer. It's part of the system. I want to use it." Well, I figured the least I could do would be to experiment with it and try it out. And do you know what? It worked. In fact, it worked just fine. So what's my point? Why do I tell you about our preferences? First of all, we're all expats or former expat workers as yourself. Now that you know a little more about us, you can more easily accept that what we share with you comes from our experience or what we've learned from others just like yourself. I hope that also in hearing about us, you can more easily count us among your friends. Secondly, it does fit with an idea about our program today. Imagine your life as the process is going on the desktop of my computer. Let's say that I want to listen to Brent's program from last Monday. I would open up my Real Player and it would start to play MemCare by Radio. Then if I were going to send next Wednesday's program to Scott Hollinger, I'd open up FileZilla. And if I wanted to communicate with Jonathan Griffiths about his early retirement, I might open my Skype as well. So now Real Player is open, FileZilla is sending a program, and Skype is open. And then if I decided to write you an email, I'd have to open my Outlook Express. And the thing that would be right in front of my eyes would be the Outlook Express and the email that I'm writing to you. But even though that's right in front of my face, other things are going on in the background. Here's the question. Is your life like that? Many processes running simultaneously? How can it not be? Okay, so are you resolving the processes in the background, or are you just keeping them out of your eyesight? My MemCare by Radio teammate Susan Feet began a series of programs last week talking about coping mechanisms. Our purpose is to distinguish between coping, which is dealing with the issues in our lives, or relying on some mechanism that only moves the pressures out of our eyesight.
Mechanism is a behavior that we've adopted to deal with pain or difficult situations that isn't actually coping. It's something other than coping. So it's often an avoidance or some way of shifting that feeling or suppressing it.
last time you talked about acting out, where someone might, for example, slam the phone receiver down or slam a door. Can you describe that again briefly?
Yeah, acting out is expressing your emotions against that person in an inappropriate way. So we talked about children throwing a toy, an adult slamming doors and that kind of thing, but it can be the icy silence, cold shoulder too, in some way that they are punishing you for what you've said or done.
Another one you mentioned was displacement, where you take out your anger on someone other than the person that's causing the stress or difficulty.
Yeah. And the example we gave was a man who had a problem at work with his boss, and he comes home and he fusses at the wife, and the wife fusses at the kids, on down the line till the poor dog gets kicked by somebody.
Yeah, that's not a good situation. And then also the last thing you mentioned last time was provocation. Tell us again about that.
Yeah, provocation is they're looking to feel powerful, so they will pick on someone weaker than themselves, provoking a fight which they're sure that they can win so that they can feel powerful again. And we talked about bullies were a classic example of that.
And these are just a few that perhaps help us to, again, picture or have in our minds what a coping mechanism is. Can you name some others?
Yeah, another very common one is avoidance. And procrastination is probably the chief way that this is exhibited. I think procrastination is sort of, you know, pandemic in our culture, you know, as a way of dealing with things. We can even procrastinate, fool ourselves with good things. So, like in the morning, I want to exercise every morning, but sometimes, you know, I just don't feel like doing it today. And I can get busy. I can straighten up a room, and I can fold some laundry, and I can, you know, go clean the bathroom. Now, those are not bad things, but they are an avoidance of what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know myself well enough. If I avoid long enough, I'll say, okay, it's too late in the day. I'm just not going to do it. And so I have avoided myself out of something that I should have done. So it can be doing things that we're not supposed to be doing at that particular time as a form of avoidance, or we can just be procrastinating.
Is it fair to say that sometimes it's you just have to put something on hold for a little bit, and it's better to wait and see how the other people respond before you quickly send an email?
Yeah, that is entirely different, because obviously taking time to think about something and process something, that's part of coping. So it isn't about we have to, you know, sort of fly off the handle about everything, or that we have to react immediately to everything. But when we know we should be doing something, if I know I'm supposed to be working on a program, or if I know I'm supposed to be folding laundry, or I know I'm supposed to be doing something other than what I'm doing, and I'm aware of that, it's like, yeah, I don't feel like doing that right now. That's an avoidance.
I'm glad you already talked about napping earlier this year, so I can know for sure that that's not my avoidance. That's just, Susan said, I should get enough sleep.
That's right.
What would be another coping mechanism?
Compartmentalization is another coping mechanism. Now, like a lot of these things, a lot of times they're an exaggeration of something that isn't necessarily inappropriate. And compartmentalization is actually very common in men, both as a natural thing and as a coping mechanism. The men can naturally compartmentalize. So, you know, if somebody's got to go on a farm and kill the chicken, you know, it's easier for the guys to do that because they're not thinking, oh, that's little bitty hen, you know, it's meat on the table. They can compartmentalize that from what they're eating. Women have a harder time. It's like, oh man, I knew that chicken. I raised that chicken from an egg, you know? So that's part of that natural compartmentalization. It's a healthy thing in certain circumstances. I remember when our son was playing up with a pogo stick at the neighbor's, and they had gone inside because their son, his tooth had fallen out. And when they came out, he's lying unconscious in a pool of blood on their porch. Now that's a time for compartmentalization, because you need to be calm and cool and collected in order to deal with the situation. Someone who's hysterical and who's feeling everything is no help at all in that situation. Men in war do this. They compartmentalize things because they would be overwhelmed and unable to do what they need to do at that point if they were feeling everything.
You mentioned an example as we were talking earlier, an example of a film where that was portrayed.
Yeah, in the movie Saving Private Ryan, the main character, after D-Day, after they'd established the beachhead and that long day with all that had gone on was passed, and it was evening, he went to a place, it was quiet and he was alone, and he just cried his eyes out. He let himself have time to process, at least to some extent, what he had seen and experienced that day. That's the proper use and function of compartmentalization. But some people put things in a box and they never take it out again. And that's the unhealthy part.
So we have to be sure that we understand it's okay to make that separation so we can accomplish things. But if we're using that as a way to avoid coping with something, that would be where the problem is.
Yeah. And some people compartmentalize everything. Anything unpleasant is compartmentalized, and that's also unhealthy.
Another coping mechanism that you've listed is called compensation. How does that play out?
Well, compensation means we've looked at ourselves and we see something we don't like, what we perceive as some kind of a weakness. And so we will focus on something that we consider a strength. So when I was a young girl growing up, I didn't feel attractive. I didn't feel socially adept at all. I was very shy. And so I focused on my mind and my schoolwork and that type of a thing. And that's where I put my self-worth, my feelings of confidence were in that area. And I ignored the other area completely. And then as an adult, I had to go back and I had to learn as an adult, social skills and things like that.
Did someone point that out for you? How were you aware that this is happening?
I remember it was really in young adulthood, I began to be aware, I'm not participating in life. I'm missing an awful lot. So an awareness began. I was like, yeah, I want more than this. And it started small ways. I'd raise my hand in class. I knew the answers, but I would just never raise my hand because that was kind of a social thing. So it began in small ways. And then as an adult, I was not very tactful and I realized that. I hurt people. It's been so long. I can't remember if people said something to me, but I began being aware. It's like, yeah, this is not the kind of person that I want to be. And so I consciously began working on being more tactful. I listened to people who were tactful, who I considered good, had good social skills, and tried to see what it was that they were doing to follow it.
You've mentioned that being aware that we're doing these coping mechanisms is one of the biggest steps, because once you realize this is what you're doing or how you're behaving, at least then you can do something to try to change the situation. And one very often used coping mechanism is denial. We don't really have much time to get into that this time, but I hope that you can just give us an idea what would be some examples of that.
Yeah, denial is often called motivated forgetfulness, and forgetfulness is a big part of it. We do not want to know about something, and suppression and repression are related to that. There are, in some ways, separate sides of the same coin. It is about really not knowing, and we cannot know so thoroughly we don't have a clue. And that was, in fact, what happened to me when I had my breakdown.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.